right. Post-game, Casper, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Okay, so I'm going to share a personal story.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask you for advice. Okay. So I am the kind of person who, if I come across something that upsets me, right? Like, I stew in it for a while. Like, I.
No, you don't. Stop
it. You don't. I don't know how you do it. Like, it's kind of amazing. So I'll give you guys the latest example and then tell me what you would have done to remedy the situation so it wouldn't destroy your night, because it destroyed my night. Okay. So here's the thing with doctors. Look, I get it. Like, our healthcare system's messed up. I get that you guys are gonna charge a lot. I get that we're gonna have to pay a lot out of pocket. But just tell me what it is, and like let's make it a one-time thing, right? So, Christian has to have surgery. Years of playing professional sports screwed up his rotator cuff. So he had rotator cuff surgery, right?
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, I didn't play professional sports, but I probably could have.
Yeah, okay.
I probably got some rotator issues.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, it was a little off the cuff.
Okay. Yeah, so look, let me give you full context. I'm very lucky, have health insurance. It's decent health insurance, right? And so even with the best health insurance, this is the experience you have as an American, right? In America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From the standpoint of an American.
So he has the surgery, and it costs a lot out of pocket because you have the deductible. And then once you meet the deductible, if you have a PPO, it only covers a certain percentage. And with my plan, it's 80-20. So 20% of the cost comes out of pocket. So, all right, okay, fine. It costs around $5,000 out of pocket on the day of the surgery. We pay it. Yeah, okay. By the way, that's painful, okay, for anyone. But whatever, it is what it is. It's an important surgery. We got to get it done. Let's just do it, okay. But now, the surprise bills.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's the worst. It's the worst. So, $100 bill here. What is this? Okay, whatever, we'll pay it. $250 bill there. And then last night, I was done. So I get home, open something that's addressed to me because the insurance is under my name, and $581 bill. Why? Just tell me what it is once. Like, it's painful the first time, but it's like, you want this pain more? We're gonna give you more pain, like, for months to come. And so I log into my health insurance, portal online, and there's an additional $1,000 worth of bills, like, just charged, like, anesthesia was charged twice, this, that. And so, okay, whatever. That's a longer healthcare conversation. But it put me in a really sour mood. And then we had planned a date night, so we're gonna go to dinner. But I'm in such a bad mood. I can't get past it. How do you get past something like that and try to like enjoy the night? Because I ruined it. I really did, and I feel guilty about it. And if I'm in a bad mood, then he gets in a bad mood, and then I feel terrible for ruining the mood. But I don't know how to like go from, I am very upset about this, too. All right, I will deal with it later. Now I'm in a good mood so I can enjoy my night. Some people are capable of doing it. I am not.
So I have to say now a great number of things in a short period of time.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Number one, this is exactly why I was enraged at Chris Cillizza's piece on CNN right before we got on air. Mm-hmm. And he attacked Ocasio-Cortez again on the $40 trillion made-up number again, right? And they're like, well, nobody can explain it. Right here, I can explain it. Put me on air. I'll fucking explain it, okay? Mm-hmm. Put me on air. I will explain to you how you're wrong. Oh, you didn't do that. Oh, funny how that works, right? You just rather fight a straw man instead of a real person, okay? So anyways, but he's like, they keep saying like, but there's all this cost from healthcare and the liberals don't know how to pay for it. Hey, dick. There's already all those costs. She just paid 5,000 and then another 581 and another one. So what's better, if she pays all that or if we raise her taxes by, pick a number, 5%,
8%? Just raise my taxes, please raise my taxes. So, raise my fucking taxes.
And by the way, I run a small business, so I know we pay a lot in healthcare. Mm-hmm. The healthcare that Anna's got, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we pick pretty good healthcare. We care about our employees. We're trying to do our best, okay?
Yep.
And so if we didn't have to pay healthcare, we could increase everyone's salaries. So you would have higher incomes. You wouldn't be a nervous wreck over every goddamn thing going wrong that's gonna destroy your life, your financial well-being, etc. And you wouldn't get shocked every once in a while.
The shocks, that's what's like really getting to me. Because life is stressful already. That whole situation was stressful. I just want to be done with it. And it's like the nonstop surprise bills.
In the single payer systems, you don't pay any of that. You don't pay any of that. But Saliza and Jake Tapper are like, yes, but I make a lot of money and I would have to pay slightly more taxes. So I'm not in favor of that. Why don't you keep getting shocked? It's
so frustrating.
I mean, are you really, you can't understand simple concepts? Your salary's higher, you don't have to pay the healthcare costs. And yes, we get it from taxes, but the taxes are less than what we are currently paying.
So by the way, really quick, I realized something last night and it put me in this like extreme place of panic, right? Because best case scenario, you have the good insurance, which thank you TYT, we do have good insurance, right? But even with the good insurance, okay, so after you meet your deductible, it covers 80-20. God forbid one of us gets really sick, right? Let's say, you know, cancer diagnosis, something like that, and the treatment can run up to, I don't know, $1 million in a lot of cases. And then
where
what?
Are you going to get $200,000?
$200,000?
Who has that?
No, I'm done. I'm financially ruined. I'm done.
And then they'll blame you. They'll say Trump's a genius for going bankrupt 6 times, but you're not morally responsible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Morally responsible? I got cancer. What the fuck do you want from me? Right? So this system is insanity. Okay, now I did not answer your question at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to that.
Even more.
I know, right? Just got you more money. So I was just talking to a reporter about this. When I was a kid, I liked to fight, but I was. I guess smart enough to realize that that I had those tendencies, so I decided to channel them in a productive way. So I became a football player, and I became a middle linebacker. So my job was to commit violence upon other people, okay? And then in college, still a young, aggressive, testosterone-filled kid, but I don't have time to be a football player. I got to study, and college is hard, so I join the rugby team. So that way you don't have to do a lot of practice. You just go out one day a week and hit people, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that's a socially accepted, productive way of doing it. Now, in my personal life, as you know, I'm not very angry, right?
No, you're not actually.
Part of the reason is because I started TYT. So that's why I vent. And and those things I am genuinely enraged by, as you just saw a second ago, right? Mm-hmm. And it's hard for people to understand sometimes. Like, well, so if you're not angry in your personal life, are you faking it? No, I'm not faking it. No, I'm genuinely pissed off at that stuff. And thank God I have the show. Otherwise, I'd talk everybody's ears off and I'd be a dynamo waiting to explode, right? Mm-hmm. So I vent and I vent here and I'm not done with it, but I can compartmentalize it.
Yeah, it's amazing. You're really good at it. You really are.
But look, let's keep it real. I'm lucky, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a person who, the thing that I'm luckiest about is my understanding that I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm appreciative. I feel blessed that I had the childhood that I had, that I have the life that I have. And so it creates a natural reservoir of good feelings. And I try to explain this to my dad, who is as stressed as you are, right? Mm-hmm. And every day there's 100 things we could get mad about, and there's 100 things that we could feel great about. And you're making a decision.
Yes, I know.
Right? And so on the show, it makes sense that we are choosing to get mad about topics because we are hoping that it is productive and leads to solutions on injustices that need to be fixed in the world.
Right.
Right? In your real life, it's not productive, okay?
Yep.
And by the way, I do get mad in the real world, but even that is a little bit productive, I argue. Mm-hmm. Wendy doesn't agree, but like, so if someone is being unreasonable, make up a random story, the cable company said they were gonna come out and do, you know, and repairs. Be home between 8 a.m. and noon, and they didn't come out, and they didn't come out the second day, the third day, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so, oh no, the perfect example is the when I famously lost it in the real world against American Airlines.
Oh yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what I was explaining to Wendy is, if everyone was calm, they would have never brought the plane because they were lying. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Because they said, oh, the plane is having issues. I'm like, there's 100 planes in that hangar. Okay, now I get it, you're down a plane because it had technical issues. I understand that, you're not making that up. But you are choosing not to bring the plane for this particular flight.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that is logical and it is true. I'm angry, but that is a logical point to make, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, whatever. No, we'll tell you when we tell you, okay? They were never gonna bring that goddamn thing. They decided that's the plane that's not coming, right? And so people got worked up. I got worked up. Some of you saw that, right? Mm-hmm. Because I was recording it live. And when we put enough pressure, lo and behold, a plane showed up. Now they didn't let me on it because they were pissed, okay? But I was right. One, they did have a plane, and two, if enough pressure was applied, mm-hmm. and in that case, the only pressure we had was the volume of our voice, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. A plane would show up. Now, if there's nothing that anybody can do, then there's no point in yelling. There's no point in getting angry. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do understand that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a little situational in that sense. But overall,
I did not know how good I had it. Like, I should have partied more. No, I'm not kidding. Like, my life is full of nothing but weight, and it's on my shoulders 24/7.
Oh,
there's
I know.
24, like, I admit, why didn't I know? Why didn't I listen to you? Why didn't I party more?
I told you, didn't
no,
I tell
it's
you?
It's like the biggest I told regret you. Of my life. Okay. Because now I feel like I feel this longing for a life that I can't have anymore. It's over. It's done.
I'm well, like, wait till you have kids.
No, but there, I can't. Like, if I had kids, I'd be a mess. Like, I can't do that right now.
Anyway. So, look, I don't know if you caught Old School last night.
I didn't.
Okay, yeah. But we talked. It's funny you are talking about this because mm-hmm. a lot of the show was about the sweet spot. How there's a sweet spot in your life.
Yeah, I missed
and,
it.
And don't miss it. Don't miss the sweet spot. And I talked about how I missed some sweet spots, but I actually didn't tell this story last night. So let me tell it real quick, and then we'll end. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I knew how lucky I was, and I was a rare kid who knew. Because most kids are mm-hmm. like, you know, brats and entitled, whatever, right? That's not fair. That's not most kids, but some are, right? Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking, man, I live in America, which is the richest country in the world. I have a yard. Mm-hmm. And remember, I came from a perspective of living in a city with a tiny little apartment where nobody had any yards. I live in this giant house. It wasn't a giant house, it was a normal house, but it seemed giant to me, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And I've got great friends, I've got great parents. I can see with my own eyes in the news and in the real world that not everybody has great parents. Not everybody has good friends. Mm-hmm. Not everybody lives in a nice home in the suburbs with a nice big green grass, et cetera, right? I'm a little over obsessed about the grass, but still. Mm-hmm. And I remember being outside my house after having hung out with my friends and played ping pong all night long, uh-huh. okay? And a crisp fall evening, and right outside my house going, it doesn't get any better than this, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And that was a sweet spot. So guys, for whatever you do, find your sweet spots and soak it in.
Yeah, party more.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Anna, to come all the way back around to the core of the answer, you know, we discussed the other night about the high rollers in Vegas mm-hmm. and how they're obsessed with spending more money than their other jerk off rich friends, and they wasted and all this stuff. But think about how much richer we are than the average person in the world.
No, I know, I know, and I'm definitely grateful for that. There's no question. But I think, you know, it takes a lot to maintain that. Like, and that's the thing that I'm realizing more and more as I get older, and I think a lot of people have already come to that realization as well, where like I'm doing well, right? But anything can change that at any moment.
And that's it, true.
And that's the thing that's terrifying.
And that's, we talked about it last night on Old School too. And my dream is to one day wake up without stressing about money. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's my ultimate goal in life. That's not true, but it's my secondary goal in life. Okay, because God, that peace of mind would be wonderful. But even as I stress about money, and we are not rich in the context of America and certainly media, et cetera, but I live in LA. LA is a gorgeous city. Not everybody gets to live in LA. And I have cars, I have a house, I don't really own it, and you know, it's and could be taken away at any moment.
Yeah.
We have a company, right? But but you know, like you were saying today, where are all the other digital media companies?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. A lot of the digital media companies that, you know, got glowing reviews and everyone thought they'd be around for a long time, they got all of this funding and investments, they all went under.
So like people give us crap over the $20 million investment we got. Are you kidding me, guys? There's other companies that are very, very similar to us. $80 million investment, $130 million investment. And Vice has gotten what? $1.5 billion in investment, I believe. $1.5 billion, and we have more views than them. Okay, but we don't have more revenue.
Yeah.
And so that's the fight I fight every day, to try to make sure that we survive and that we keep going and do what we do. And it's a hell of a fight. On the other hand, we do have to celebrate that we've been here 16 years.
Absolutely.
And you know, super last thing that I'll end on. The other night, you know, I was frustrated that the only metric that anybody ever cares about is money, right? And so let's keep it real. Most people, I think, don't think that I am successful. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you might think otherwise. You're a TYT member, and if you do, you have a great heart, and I appreciate you and all that stuff, right? But in the world of New York and DC and politics and media. So politics and media and business, those are the worlds that I inhabit in a way, right? In those worlds, I'm not really a success because I'm not super rich. Mm-hmm. That's the only metric that matters.
Yep.
So hey, you had a company that went 16 years, you've had 9 billion views, you've affected all these people's lives. Don't care, not remotely interesting. Do you have money or don't you have money, right? But the epiphany last night was, wait a minute, am I falling into the same trap they are? Mm-hmm. So if, you know, because we've read all those wonderful emails and comments because of the membership tribe, et cetera. And it seems like we affected a lot of people's lives in a positive way.
Yeah. That's the only thing that really matters. At the end of the day, that is what matters.
So it's hard not to wake up and stress about finances. Mm-hmm. You know it too, whether you pay the rent, whatever you do, right? And you have trouble and we all know it, I don't have to explain it to you, right? On the other hand, I should be following my own advice and waking up every morning and thinking about the impact that we had, and should wake up with a smile on my face. And Anna, don't feel bad, because I'm not there yet either.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and we're all a work in progress. And remember what Wendy said, okay? My wife's a therapist, and she said, it's a great, great point. She said, getting to the right frame of mind is like exercising. Mm-hmm. Instead of exercising your body, you're exercising your mind. So keep working out, keep going in the right direction. It doesn't happen in one day, but eventually gets better and better and better.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty good advice, right?
That is good advice, absolutely.
Yes. All right, we gotta go, guys. All right, hopefully that helped, and we will see you tomorrow.